watched a figure walk out of that doorway, cut across the hall, and walk into the wall.
And I was scared. I thought they was coming toward me, you know, because they acted like they was going to come toward me. And something like that just, you know, just freezes you, just puts you right there, you know, in the spot. You know, you don't know what to do.
There's so many different types of aliens. I mean, billions. As far as planets like Earth, there's billions upon billions of planets like Earth.
Shifted in front of their eyes from a human form into a reptilian form and then back again.
I'm open-minded about a lot of strange phenomena.
For the past 3 years, a large number of perfectly sane and reliable people have been involved in this flying saucer business. Even those of us who have never seen one have become involved. We read about them, talk about them, wonder about these reports of strange phenomena in the skies.
From the heart of the Blue Ridge Mountains, this is Speaking of Strange with Joshua P. Warren. The show that explores today's mysteries and the groundbreaking knowledge of tomorrow.
It's alive! It's alive from Asheville, North Carolina, and tonight, are you crazy? To those of you in the Southeast and around the globe on the Internet, welcome to the region's top-rated Saturday night talk program that gives you breaking news and insight regarding the paranormal and downright weird, where the unusual becomes usual. And we don't just discuss it, we go in the field to investigate. It is July 17th, 2010. On this date in 1918, during World War I, a cursed English ship was sunk off Ireland by a German U-boat. Why was the English vessel cursed? It was called the RMS Carpathia, and just 6 years before, in 1912, it was the ship that rescued 705 survivors from the Titanic. They said it was that damn mummy that caused all the problems. Should have never been smuggled onto the Titanic. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren, author of books like Haunted Asheville, How to Hunt Ghosts, and The Secret Wisdom of Kukulcan. And I'm founder and president of Lemur Paranormal Investigations. My producer and engineer tonight is Manny the Man Creech. Good evening, Manny.
Good evening.
And now you, my dear listeners, are about to hear the fantastic, and I want to hear about your unexplainable experiences from time to time. So remember, when the phone lines are open, our local number is 240-9962, or toll-free nationwide, 800-570-9962. Tonight on the program, is paranormal research held back from attitudes fostered by many mainstream psychologists and psychiatrists indicating those who sense the unknown are somehow delusional? What standards are in place to determine what is normal versus paranormal when investigating the human mind? If you've seen a ghost, are you clinically crazy? Who decides what is sane or insane? Well, tonight we'll be joined by an expert who has studied these questions and much more. It will be a fascinating conversation between myself and David Ritchie, author of The Hiss of the Asp, Understanding the Anomaly Sensitive Person. Plus, during the Dark 30 Hour, we will get an update from Luciferian Vampire Jonathan the Impaler Sharkey. He's a Republican presidential candidate, and he'll let us know what conflicts he's been facing in the media and within dirty politics. Don't forget, if you can, go to speakingofstrange.com to participate in the live chat during the show. Find more information on topics discussed and links to all kinds of cool things. In fact, Mobius wants me to let everybody know that he has got visuals prepared in the chat room tonight. So if you want this radio program to transform into almost a TV show, make sure you're in the chat room tonight, because he will be illustrating some of the things that we discuss. And if you are in the Asheville area or will be, check out the website hauntedasheville.com. That is the website for our tours, often starting at Barley's Tap Room and Pizzeria, site of Asheville's largest mass murder killing spree. Lovely. And you know what else? July 17th is not just a day for a cursed English ship sinking off the coast of Ireland, but it is the birthday of Mr. Chris Sarles, who manages the Haunted Asheville Tour. So, Chris Sarles, happy birthday, buddy. There you are, right there. Shelley, you look like you want to say something.
Well, it's also my parents' anniversary.
Is it really?
Yes.
Do I even need to introduce you anymore? Do I need? I think the people of Western North Carolina and all those listening around the globe, they know that voice. They can sense that smile. They feel that glow that transmits through the airwaves.
Aww.
And they know that Shelley Wright is in the studio. So, happy anniversary to your mother and father, then,
right?
Thank
you very much. Thank you.
How many years has it been?
We won't discuss that. Let's just say they're very, very happy.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah.
We'll ask your dad about that.
Yeah, we'll ask Dad. I mean, Dad's the one that actually figured out exactly when it was they did get married.
Uh-huh.
There was some discrepancy over the past few years. Mom said it was one date. Dad said it was another. So they decided to take the whole week to celebrate. And finally, he found the marriage certificate last year.
Well, the thing that's admirable about your mom and dad is that they work together mm-hmm. at Wright's Coin Shop and have done so for how many years? 30-some years?
I think it's 38 in October.
38?
Uh-huh.
So we should be saying almost 40 years instead of over 30 years.
Yes, yes.
Because, now, obviously, everybody who listens to this show, they know that you guys exclusively sponsor Speaking of Strange.
Yes.
And you have people who come in the door and they want to visit and buy things and
mm-hmm.
sell things because they hear you on the air and they want to see you in person.
I had a lot of people come in and see me and call me on the phone this week.
Well, that's good. And that's why everybody should advertise.
Everybody's
exclusively
so nice.
On Speaking of Strange. Don't advertise
yes.
on anything else. Just Speaking of Strange.
Just Speaking of Strange.
And so, well, that's impressive that they have been married that long and they're able to work together as well, because a lot of couples cannot work together. You know, they
right.
they can share evenings after work, but they can't actually, you know, spend the whole day together. So they must be inseparable. They're together all the time.
They really are.
Wow. Okay. Well,
yeah.
That's impressive. So now, when people are coming into the coin shop and they hear you on the radio, some of them, they go in there because, again, they want to buy things, they want to sell things. Some people, however, just drop off letters, notes, interesting things
yes.
you passed along to me about topics on the show.
Yes. Yeah, I've had one very nice man that actually called me up earlier in the week to talk to me about last week's show.
Mm-hmm.
And then he came in and he brought a letter for you and some other things to support what we were talking about last week. And, yeah, very, very nice guy.
And for those who don't know, if you're in the area, you guys are located near the Asheville Mall across the parking lot from Kmart there.
Right, right. In the Kmart shopping center across from the mall. We're kind of behind the shopping center there. So,
you got like Radio Shack over there, Dollar Tree, and Hot Dog King.
Yes, Hot Dog King is in the back.
Do you eat Hot Dog King often?
No, actually, I... I send a lot of people down to Hot Dog King, but somehow I don't get to make it down there.
I actually love Hot Dog King.
Really?
Yeah. The Hot Dog King should advertise on this show.
I know.
I would sit here and eat a hot dog every
week. What's
your
favorite thing to eat there? Just
I get a foot long, and I shouldn't even be saying this. They're not sponsoring the show. But okay.
Maybe they'll call.
They're under new management.
A foot long, and I get the chili and the coleslaw and the mustard and the relish.
That sounds great.
That does sound good.
Yeah, yeah. Everybody listens to this show, and they get hungry.
Yeah. I know. What is it?
Well, they're all high.
That's it.
That's
why they have the munchies on Saturday night. Yeah.
Maybe High Time should sponsor.
Oh, the things I could follow up on that with. But you know what? I got this letter here, speaking of people who are dropping off notes.
Mm-hmm.
I got a letter from Patterson, California. I won't use the name of the guy who sent it, but it's funny because he ordered one of the products at my website, joshuapwarren.com. And so I took this out, and I was reading his order, and in the letter here, he actually says, verbatim, and I'm just quoting this, he says, "I know that Joshua P. Warren will never see this letter, but blah, 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 blah." And I thought that's so funny that people out there, they don't believe that I actually do see the messages that come in. I cannot respond to them all, but I want you all to know, when you email me, when you send me something, I as far as I know, I guess I wouldn't know if I didn't get it, right? But I do everything I can to look directly at what comes in. And so if you are in Patterson, California, sir, you know I'm talking to you. And I do see these things. And I am very in tune with the people out there who pay attention to the radio. In fact, last night, I spontaneously went on Coast to Coast AM. I am a little bit tired, I will confess, because I wasn't expecting that I was going to have to do that. So I haven't gotten a lot of sleep here. But the reason I went on Coast to Coast AM last night is because George Norrie wanted me to talk about my upcoming trip to study Robert the Haunted Doll. Yes, do you know about Robert the Doll? It's a very strange, eerie story. And, in fact, here in Western North Carolina, at least, it's a stormy night. It's a tumultuous evening. So it's a good time for me to tell you a little bit more about this trip that I have coming up. And I want to not only hear from people who have stories related to what I'll be investigating when I go down to Key West, Florida next month, but I have a little workshop I'm putting together down there. So when we come back from our first break here, I will give you a bit more elaborate version of the story behind Robert the Doll. Some call him Robert the Devil Doll. I, however, don't want to go that far because he might be a nice doll for all I know. He might be sweet.
Feelings.
Yeah.
Consider his feelings.
That's right. I'm going down with a very open mind to do an investigation on assignment for Coast to Coast AM. But hey, speaking of strange, obviously gets the info as well. We're all part of one big happy family here. So, yeah, I'll tell you about that. And if you happen to be in the southern Florida area, or if not, you just want to fly, fly from China if you want to, come see what I'm going to do down there. I will tell you about the story behind Robert the Haunted Doll when we return. And I must tell you, an atmosphere of strangeness has sort of settled in all around my life since I have made the decision to go down there to Key West and do this investigation. I'm going to be all by myself. I'm a little intimidated, Shelley.
You?
Yeah. I'm freaking out a little bit here.
No.
When we come back from the break, I will explain everything, because this is the show where we dig into the amazing, the remarkable, the extraordinary, the downright weird. It's called Speaking of Strange, and we keep you company every Saturday night. I'm Joshua P. Warren, and we will be right back.
She's alive, Daddy, and her name is Talkie Tina.
My name is Talkie Tina, and I love you very much.
Will you shut that thing off?
My name is Talkie Tina, and I think I could even hate you. My name is Talkie Tina, and you'll be sorry.
Be a good girl, Tina, and eat your supper.
Eat your own supper, Christy.
My name is Talkie Tina, and I'm beginning to hate you.
My name is Eric Strader, and I'm going to get rid of you.
You wouldn't dare.
Huh?
Oh!
Hello?
My name is Talkie Tina, and I'm going to kill you. I told you you'd be fine.
My Tina.
Well, I'm going to borrow Tina for a while.
Tina, borrow
Tina. How could I live with you after what you've done? You've become a stranger to me, Eric. A sick, neurotic
you
stranger.
You'll
with blind, reasonable hate.
My name is Talkie Tina, and I don't forgive you.
Strange. It's more than a show. It's a saga. An epic struggle between man and the beyond. Between us and the unexplained. We are the favorite program of hodags, wendigos, skunk apes, little people, and space aliens.
And tonight, as we peel back the layers of the human mind, peering ever deeper into the most complex and twisted wrinkles of the brain, are their deep-seated senses, ESP, psychic vibes that we should accept as integral parts of primordial intuition that have been ridiculously denied by the elite worlds of mainstream psychology and psychiatry without reason. Yes! And tonight, David Ritchie will explain why those who experience the paranormal are not always crazy and why you might be one of them. That is coming up soon on Speaking of Strange. And by the way, next week, July 24th, it's Bell Share Weekend. If you don't know what that is, just look up Bell Share in Asheville, B-E-L-E-C-H-E-R-E, the largest outdoor street festival in the entire Southeast. And I have to do a little bit of participation in that, but I don't want to tell you what it is, because I don't want to be bombarded by fans, by mobs of screaming teenage girls. It's that Beatles phenomenon that happens whenever I say I'm going to be in downtown Asheville. You've all seen it, of course.
You poor, poor thing.
Yes. They will rip me to pieces. They come in like piranhas and hyenas, and just they all want a little hunk of flesh, you know. So to avoid that, I won't tell you precisely what my involvement will be, but I'm going to tell you about some of my adventures at Bell Share next weekend. And also, I think we might do a little something about bioluminescence on the show. So put that on your calendar. That and more is next Saturday, July 24th, 2010, right here. And welcome back to Speaking of Strange. Yeah, it's true. I have a trip lined up, and this has been in the works for a long time. By the way, I said that if you can get on the website and go to the chat room at speakingofstrange.com, because Mobius is putting up illustrations once in a while to show people things that I am talking about in greater detail. And he put up a photograph to represent some of Shelley's attributes.
Those are not mine.
Okay, she just wants to make sure everybody knows those are not hers. Again, that's speakingofstrange.com. Join the chat if you can. Too bad it's FCC regulated. How many times do I say that every Saturday, right?
Just wait till after 10.
Yeah, but you know, I'm interested in spooky dolls, possessions. I worked on a TV show for
TLC, the learning channel, called Possessed Possessions. And Will, who is frequently in the chat room, he is a great listener who lives, I think, in South Carolina. He sent me a spooky little haunted doll from Germany that I right now have in my living room. And that might explain some of the bad luck that I get from time to time.
It might.
In fact, soon I think I'm going to put a picture of that up somewhere so that all of you can see it if you are a new listener of the show. But I'm very intrigued by all this. And so, you know, I do these things for Coast to Coast. I'm a correspondent, and I do these segments for them on a regular basis. And George, he's been telling me for a long time that he wants me to go to Key West, Florida, and investigate Robert the Haunted Doll. And I have always wanted to investigate Robert anyway. But just recently, George has been very adamant about wanting a report. And so this is a great, you know, reason for me to finally make the plans to go down there. So that's what I'm going to do. Now, before I tell you more about my trip, let me explain the story behind Robert the Doll. And if you listened to Coast to Coast last night, I apologize if this is redundant, but hey, that's how it goes sometimes. The dates are a little bit mixed up and wishy-washy, but from what I've been able to see, this really began around 1904, because in the year 1900, in Key West, Florida, there was a man born named Robert Eugene Otto. And when he was about 4 years old, he received an outstanding gift, because he lived with his mother and father and a servant who is a woman from the Bahamas who supposedly was a voodoo practitioner. And they claim that she became displeased with the family at some point and therefore created a doll. He's about 3 feet tall. He looks like a little sailor. And he has these sort of black shark-like dead eyes. And she put who knows what components into this doll and gave it to little Eugene as a present when he was 4 years old. And he became extremely attached to this doll. So attached that he couldn't go anywhere without the doll. His parents claimed that they would hear him talking to it, and then they would hear it answering him. And at first they thought he was just changing his voice and mimicking some other, you know, personality. But no, after a while they began to realize it seemed like this doll had a voice. And it became even further enhanced when sometimes they heard this creepy giggling coming out of him. Then things escalated. At night, young Eugene, or Gene as they called him, would wake up screaming, just absolutely screaming with night terrors, and they'd come rushing into his bedroom and found furniture knocked all over the place, and they would say, "What happened?" And he would say, "Robert, it was Robert, he was running around, he knocked all this stuff over." And they thought it was unhealthy after a while for him to be around this doll. And these kinds of things continued to the point where eventually they said they saw this doll running in and out of rooms. I mean, it took on a life of its own. Neighbors would see him walking around past windows. And so as time went on, Eugene grew up to be, you know, a very successful painter, I believe it was, in Key West. And he got married, had a good life, and in fact lived in the same house that his family had when he was a child. But his wife, named Anne, was very perturbed by the fact that even as a grown man, he remained extremely attached to this doll. And spoke of the doll as if it had a personality, a consciousness. And he went even so far as to take the entire attic, which was a very large space in their house, and turn that into Robert's room, which is what he called the doll, Robert the doll. This is Robert's room. He made little chairs and a bed and, you know, various accessories and furniture for Robert the doll. And she started freaking out when at night she would hear footsteps running around above her head. And she begged him to get rid of this doll, but he never would do it. The doll almost seemed more important to him than she was. And then finally, in the 70s, the 1970s, Gene died. And at that point, his wife, Anne, immediately moved out of the house, put it up for lease, and she had a clause in the lease that said, Robert the doll remains the sole occupant of the attic. Nobody goes up there, because she never went up there herself again, never, and just left it that way. Well, nobody wanted this house for a long time. For years, it sat there abandoned, and it was well known in the community, especially amongst the kids, that if you got around the house and you looked up at night and you were patient, eventually you'd see Robert the doll come over there and look out the window. And finally, the house was indeed leased to a family that had a 10-year-old girl. Now, that 10-year-old girl defied the clause to a certain extent, because she started playing with Robert the doll until finally she started screaming in the middle of the night, and they would run into her room and she would say, he was trying to kill me. This doll is trying to kill me. When we come back from the break here, I'll tell you the rest of this story and how this applies to what I am going to do next month when I actually travel down there to meet Robert the doll in person, and some of the oddness, for lack of a better word, that I already have faced in my preparation for this trip. If you have not seen this doll before, go to joshuapwarren.com while I have it up there. There's no period after the P. Go to joshuapwarren.com. I have a video there that you can watch about Robert the doll. And I'd like to know how you feel after you take a look at just a picture of him. I am Joshua P. Warren. This is Speaking of Strange. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren, and, you know, it sounds hard to believe, but this is well documented. Okay, so this 10-year-old girl was just terrified by the fact that at night she said Robert the doll was trying to, quote, kill her, whatever that means. And even over 30 years later, when she was a grown woman, she was saying the same thing. In fact, they claim that Chucky from the Child's Play movies is based on Robert the doll. I don't know if that's true, but that's what I have read. So, you know those films there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And so, anyway, the family just decided to get rid of the doll. And so they donated him to this museum there in Key West, where he has been on display for years now. And the funny thing is that when people go there to see Robert the Doll, they report all kinds of weirdness about coming into contact with him. It's very difficult for most people to get a good photograph of him because they claim that if you go up to him and you don't properly and respectfully ask his permission for him to cooperate, your camera will stop working, or you can take roll after roll of pictures and they're all washed out white. But there was this guy, you'll see in the video at joshuapwarren.com, who wrote a book about ghosts of Key West, and he claimed that he was trying to take pictures of Robert at one point, and he wanted to get a picture of Robert with his hat in a different position. Because, again, he looks like a little sailor. He's got a little hat on. And so he went over, and he was about to touch Robert's hat. And all of a sudden, he said, no, Robert didn't poke him in the eye, man. But he could have.
He was that close.
But he said all of a sudden, the face of Robert the Doll morphed into this, like, organic face of a real person with these glaring, hateful eyes. And it scared him so badly, he just got out of there, pretty much. He just said, okay, Robert does not want me messing with him. And you hear all these stories, right? So I am going to go down there to Key West. I've never been to Key West before to investigate Robert the Doll. So for, you know, weeks now, I've been preparing for this, and I've been making calls. I bet you I've talked to, by now, like 40, 50 people in Key West, people who are at the museum, who work in hotels, who work at theaters and arts councils, and, you know, you name it. And every time I bring up Robert the Doll, they get this kind of somber tone and a very strange kind of sense about them. They're not sure what to think about the gravity of this doll in Key West. In fact, I've had at least three people who have told me, Mr. Warren, if you're going to come down here and you're going to seriously investigate Robert, there's something that you need to know and something that you must fully accept. Robert is alive. And if you don't appreciate that, then you shouldn't even investigate him. And so I'm just, you know, I hear these people say this in the most sincere way, and I'm thinking, okay, you know, there's something to this. I don't know what, there's something going on here. And some of the people at the museum have said, look, it's a museum. You can come down here if you want to, but whether or not you get access to Robert is up to Robert. Because he is his own being, and you have to come and ask his permission, and if he allows you, then so be it. But we cannot speak for Robert. And it kind of gives you goosebumps sometimes when you hear people telling you in the most sort of heartfelt way that this is a truly emotional, sentient, aware being. Now, I don't want to just say that he's the devil doll, because I know that certain people are going to get freaked out, period, by the idea that this doll may have some type of awareness. I'm looking at this in a very open-minded, respectful way. I'm going to go down there, and I'm going to hopefully perform as many non-invasive tests as I can to see if there is some type of energy field around him, which might be similar to the kind of energy fields you get around organic beings like humans. I have a whole barrage of tests that I want to do, and I don't want to talk about them in advance. But now that I've begun talking to people about the trip that I'm going to take, I'm getting this much larger picture of how fascinating Key West is in general. I mean, Key West has a marker that demonstrates that you can go to this one spot, and it is the southernmost spot in the continental United States. And if you're not up on Florida geography, I mean, at the tip of Florida, you have this chain of islands, the Keys, and Key West is the last one. In fact, if you look at a globe, it looks like it's at the same latitude as the Bahamas. The pictures of it are just majestic. I mean, clear, blue, beautiful water, amazing snorkeling there. And I am already hearing so many stories, or at least bits and pieces of stories, that I, you know, my mind is racing with things that I'd like to tell you about, but I don't want to tell the stories until I have all the facts. But everything from, you know, pirates to native curses to, you know, war. I mean, I know that there's a lot of war activity that happened around there. In fact, the reason the U.S. owns Puerto Rico is because in 1898, the USS Maine left from Key West heading down toward Cuba and ended up sinking. Now, it's debatable and controversial to this day whether or not the Spanish shot it out of the water or something else happened that blew it up. But the newspapers of the time, owned by people like Hearst, and the yellow journalism period jumped all over this and said, oh, yes, Spain shot one of our ships out of the water. And so that culminated in the Spanish-American War. And that's why we have Puerto Rico, and part of why that we have this bad relationship with Cuba. So, I mean, the history there is monumental. They've got crocodiles on the island from time to time, alligators and snakes. A lot of people drop off pythons there. You know, you hear these stories. People get a python or a piranha as a pet, and they're like, I don't want this thing anymore. So they go and they drop it off at Key West. But the island is small. I think it's only about like 4 miles by 2 miles. So I'm going to go down there for almost a week next month. I'm 3 weeks away. I'm going to go down there by myself with a very open mind, and I'm going to document as much as possible about the mysteries, the enigmas surrounding Key West. And the focus of this is going to be Robert the Doll and the gravity that swirls around him. And so when I'm there, I not only am going to be so interactive that I'll be interviewing people and investigating sites, but I'm also going to be doing a one-night workshop down there. And when we come back from this break, I'll tell you about that workshop and how that if you are in the area, or again, if you're not and you want to come in, what to expect, because I want to meet as many people as possible in person, and I've only got 50 seats. I'm going to send out a bunch of press on this on Monday. So as a Speaking of Strange listener, this is kind of your heads up to give you an advance notice in case you want to come to Key West and hang out with me for a night. So I'll tell you more about that when we return. And, gosh, then there's so much we're going to dig into tonight. It's a vast program, as usual, covering lots of fascinating subjects. That's why we call it Speaking of Strange. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren, and we will be right back.
Soy Celia Cruz y estoy aquí con Wyclef celebrando el carnaval. ¡Azúcar!
Guantanamera.
We are here in Miami, the sun.
Guajira, Guantanamera.
Worldwide.
Guantanamera. Guajira, Guantanamera.
That was
yo soy
good.
Un hombrecito.
This is not.
Hey, yo, I'm standing at the bar with a cigar.
Guantanamera.
Hey, yo, I think she's eyeing me. Fuck.
Guantanamera.
when it used to be alive. She went from a young girl to a grown woman like a virgin. So she sex with no average mind. Keep the figure, move like a caterpillar, fly like a butterfly, let your soul fill a glass. That woman better get Space Invader. If your name was Tom, only you would be playing Street Fighter. Penny for your thoughts, a nickel for your kiss, a dime if you tell me that you're my mom. Hey, yo, I'm standing at the bar with a cigar. Yeah, I put you time for
and we are in the final minutes of hour number one on tonight's Speaking of Strange. Coming up next hour, we're going to talk with a man who is an expert in analyzing the human mind and trying to determine whether or not you are crazy, if you have had paranormal experiences, or if you're simply open to them. And if you're listening to this program, maybe you are automatically insane. I don't know. We'll ask him about that. It is Speaking of Strange. I am Joshua P. Warren. So here's what's going down now. Next month, I am going to spend almost a week in Key West, Florida. And I am going to do a one-night workshop while I am down there. But it will actually be two workshops in one. You get a bonus. And I'm going to be doing a workshop on how to investigate ghosts, UFOs, ESP, and cryptids professionally. So if you're interested in being a professional, then you'll understand sort of what I do. I have some stunning images to show you. And then we're going to take a break, and then I'll do a workshop on the wishing machine for you. And that one, in fact, if I have time here, I'll read you an email I got about the wishing machine, which is just incredible. The subject line, and I get lots of these, but the subject line is, "The virtual machine, it worked," with about 10 exclamation points, followed by, "Wow, did it work," with about 10 more exclamation points. But I've got 50 seats available, $20 a piece, and they are only accessible if you buy them online at joshuapwarren.com. So go to my website, check out the video of Robert the Doll, and then you can click public appearances there to learn about the workshop I'm doing. And it's going to be on August the 10th, I think, from about 6 to 10 or 11 p.m. at the inn at Key West. Got a nice little room there, and it'll be a time to meet in person. But here's one thing that I mentioned on Coast to Coast last night that I found, honestly, a little bit freaky. I've been, you know, doing all this research on Robert the Doll. And the young boy who was given Robert the Doll was named Robert Eugene Otto, but they called him Eugene or Gene. And he was born on October 25th of the year 1900. Well, guess what? October 25th is also my birthday.
Do, 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 do.
We need the Tiny Tina.
Scary Freaky.
I'm starting to see some, like, synchronicity here that's a bit on the bizarre side here. I'm thinking maybe I am the reincarnated Robert Eugene Otto. And once I walk up to Robert the Doll, Robert's going to blink his eyes and say, "Welcome back, Robert." And I will go, "Ah!" And they'll just find me, like, passed out in the middle of the museum, man. But all of you, you know, I'm giving all of you a heads up here on what I'm about to do, because I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm videotaping a bunch of this, and, you know, you listen to this program, and you're going to get groundbreaking info. And be sure, if you want my email updates, to go to joshuapwarren.com and sign up for the free e-newsletter there, because I'm going to be sending them out from Key West. Okay, well, it's time for the break. When we come back, we are going to talk with David Ritchie, author of Hiss of the Asp, and it's about understanding the anomaly-sensitive person. Fascinating. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren. You're listening to Speaking of Strange.